Turn with me, please, this evening to the letter to the Hebrews and to chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm going to read from verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Let's pray once more. O God of Bethel, once more we come to you, and once more we pray that you would bless us. Lord, we cannot tire of asking, for our needs are many and persistent. And we know that you do not grow tired of hearing, for you are our God and our Father. And so bless us once more, we plead, for your glory's sake, as we seek to know you in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen. I imagine that most of us find change unsettling and wearying, perhaps some of us more than others. Even those who think that they relish change find some change somewhat oppressive. The difficulty is that it often feels like everything changes. Sometimes it changes very quickly, sometimes it changes in all the ways that we might have wished it wasn't going to change. The world in which we live is an inherently unstable place on so many levels. Though God, by the word of his power, is sustaining the world that he made, though in accordance with the covenant he made with Noah, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, those things are in their proper places, yet the world itself often seems to be a place bordering on chaos. And the church itself is not a static environment. And while on one level that's an entirely good thing, in some other senses it too can unsettle us. If we read the history of the church, we might wish that out of the gallery of faithful saints down through the ages, we could have, not quite set in aspic, because then they wouldn't be much use to us, but if we could somehow have sustained a few of the Whitfields and the Spurgeons and the maybe even the Lloyd Joneses, or you reach back to some of the Puritan greats or some of the men that we know from the 18th century. Think of some of the church fathers with their prodigious gifts, their insights and their hearts of love toward God. But those honoured servants of the Lord, they are long gone. People and pastors move on. Perhaps you have the experience. I know this is something that I feel more and more, that there are men that I used to listen to There are a people that I heard preach at conferences and things like that, and I'd go eagerly. I'd look up to them. I'd anticipate hearing them. They're the men that I would sometimes call if I needed counsel, mentors and models. And when I was younger, I would think that they were just there, that they were almost fixed forever. Some of them, in terms of their very being, seemed so solid and so stable. And yet, as they retire or are called home to glory, as age and affliction batter them down, you realise that things will not stay the same. And that's true in an environment in which the Church of Jesus Christ is constantly being battered. The writer to the Hebrews tells us in verse 9 that we're not to be carried about with various and strange doctrines. We're under threat from novel and heretical teachings coming from the mouths of men who are sometimes merely careless but still pouring forth poison, perhaps ignorant or even malicious. The past may seem like a reasonably safe place, if strange at times, but the present can appear uncertain and the future is unknown. And it is in such an environment that the writer of this letter provides an antidote to all the doubts and the fears that the people of God might feel. They are to fix their eyes on Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is, in some senses, the theme of the letter. Consider the high priest and the apostle of our calling, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is he who is the source of our comfort and our confidence. Now, our Lord Jesus himself knew that this was the case. It's why he spoke to his disciples and caused it to be recorded, as we've been reading in the last few chapters of John's Gospel. It's why, before he ascended to his Father and to ours, he said to them that all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth, and we are therefore to go and make disciples of those who bow the knee to him. They're to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then to be instructed in all the things that Christ has commanded us. And with that great privilege and great burden hanging over their heads, he tells the disciples, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." It is the unchanging great shepherd of the sheep to whom we must always look as the source of all our safety and security. And so, for confidence and for comfort, and to stir our faith and our affections as we come to the supper this evening, I want simply and briefly, and I hope warmly, to consider Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus the Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, in the glories of his person. Unchanging in the glories of his person. The writer here is not speaking so much of his unchanging nature as God the Son, as he is of his work as our mediator and our Saviour. It is Jesus Christ, the risen God-man, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, in the glories and in the perfections of his resurrection body, as the one who has ascended to the right hand of the majesty on high, and who now reigns there in accordance with the will of his God. He is the one who is as the lamb, as if he had been slain there in the midst of the throne. He is perpetually adored by angels, as the souls of just men made perfect come into his presence, carried there by his servants. They too enter into this song of praise, adoring the Lamb as if he had been slain. We need to understand that the one with whom we have to deal is undiminished and undiminishable in all the excellencies that belong to him as the one who is God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. We fix our eyes on a man, a real man. By faith, we know who he is and we are to delight ourselves in him. He is the same yesterday, today and forever in the glories of his person and also in the splendor of his office, because this God and man is the mediator of the new covenant. And again, that is the joy and the delight of the writer of this letter. Again and again, he presents him as that better one who brings in this better covenant. He is the one who finally and really brings us into the very presence of God. He is that last and greatest prophet who makes God known to his people by his word and spirit. He is the priest who makes intercession for us without ceasing on the basis of the once for all sacrifice that he has made. There never will be and there never need be any further representative for his people. For he stands in the holiest place of all, the place made without hands, and there he presents himself to God on behalf of those whom he loves. And he is a king, ruling over all things in wisdom and power. Unceasingly, unchangeably, he is our prophet, priest, and king, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever in the purposes of his heart. That one who went through this world, going about doing good, who was constantly constrained by a desire to bring glory to his Father and ours, and to do so by carrying out the salvation of his people. He knew that a work had been put into his hands. If you trace it all the way back, it has its origins before the foundation of the world. But there is that moment in time when the Son of God takes flesh and blood, and he comes into this world to do his Father's will, and nothing will dissuade him. He has a people to redeem. And step by step, in the face of all the oppositions and all the distractions that were laid around him and before him, he makes his way toward the cross. And as he comes to the end of his path, remember how he's still praying, "Father, glorify your name." The voice comes from heaven, "I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again." And he pleads with his Father that his people might be with him where he is. He prays for his disciples who are there with him, and he prays for those who will then believe in him because of the testimony that they bear. His desire is that his people should come to know him, that they should hear his voice and follow him, that he would gather them in to himself, and that he would then keep them and watch over them and bring them at last into the very presence of his Father to be able to say, "Here am I and the children whom you have given me." And those desires that we should be in him and that we should ultimately be with him to the glory of his God and his Father are unchanged, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. His people are forever the apple of his eye, forever the care of his soul, forever the object of the love which is in his heart and the heart of his Father, that he might carry out all the divine intents and purposes toward us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever in the merits of his blood. We sing, "Lo, the incarnate God ascended," pleads the merits of his blood. How can he do that? because his is the one once and for all sacrifice. We know that the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. They were shadows. They pointed forward to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There is not and there cannot be any further offering. When we celebrate time after time the Lord's Supper, we are not offering sacrifices anew. That would be a blasphemy, let alone a nonsense. It is utterly unnecessary because there is a finished work that has been accomplished. The blood of Christ has been shed once and for all. It is not that he is even now, if you will, bleeding in heaven. It's the Lamb as if he had been slain. And though we sing sometimes five bleeding wounds he bears, he is bleeding no longer. The sacrifice is completed and done and shall to eternity last. He presents himself before God. It is all, once and for all, accomplished, which means that everything that every sinner needs for cleansing and for righteousness, to stand in the presence of God himself, is already and eternally provided by Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everyone who ever trusted in the Christ for salvation was trusting in this Christ. Some looked forward to him and saw him in types and in shadows. For the Hebrews to whom this letter was written, they saw the fulfillment of these things and the passing away of that which would not stand. And since then, over the course of the centuries, anyone and everyone who has ever come to know God as their God and their Redeemer has done so in and through Jesus Christ. The merits of his blood are unchanging. His is the saving sacrifice, and there is no other atonement. And so he is the Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever in the message of his gospel. What is the good news? It is, in essence, a presentation of his person. It is the declaration of his office and his offices. It is the revelation of his heart. It is the testimony of his sacrifice. If those were to change, the gospel would change. But these being unchanging, the gospel is unchanging too. We proclaim the same good news that has been declared down through the centuries by his faithful servants. We have no new message and we need no new message. We don't need to look back and gaze with envy upon the lionized heroes of the past. We esteem them. But what we should esteem about them is their faithfulness to Christ and to his gospel. And we should take up the same Christ that they preached, the one who does not change, though they have passed away, and unchangingly proclaim an unchanging Christ. We're to hold him fast ourselves. We're to hold him out to others. The Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever is as much good news for sinners tonight as he has been for centuries. And he will still be good news tomorrow, and every day until the end of the age. That same gospel message, that same good news must be proclaimed by his people, by his servants, day after day after day. Nothing must change in the declaration of the unchanging Saviour. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever in the greatness of his love. Do you ever doubt it? You might say intellectually, I know I have no reason to do so. But experientially, we might say, from time to time I fear. I sometimes wonder, perhaps I even sometimes ask, if he really loved me, would he deal with me in this way? If he truly loved his church, Would she languish as she so often seems to do? Of whom would we ask those questions? Of the Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has proved his love. He has proved it first of all by laying down his life for all his people. And he has proved it again and again and again since then in the sustaining and the blessing and the keeping of all those upon whom he has set his love. He will love us. He cannot leave us. He has sworn himself to us, and he cannot change. Remember how while he was still here upon earth, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. We might say that he loves them beyond that end, and he loves them to the next end, and he loves them into endlessness, from everlasting to everlasting. The love of God toward us has not shifted, but we see it set forth brightly in him who is the express image of his person. And he is the one who, coming into the world and suffering and dying out of love for us, the great gift of God toward his needy people, he will not cease to cherish the people whom he purchased with his own blood. And so you can still sing that he is at the Father's side, the man of love, the crucified. That being the great demonstration, every succeeding revelation of his love is only a further confirmation of that which is manifest in the Gospels. Then the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever in the strength of his might. When has he ever failed to save those upon whom he set that matchless love? Has anybody ever escaped his gracious grasp? Has anybody ever managed to avoid the effectual call of God as the gospel of his Son is being preached? And those whom he's brought to himself, has he ever failed to sustain? We ourselves, if you're younger, you can ask some of the older men and women in this congregation, has God ever stopped being your God? Has he ever turned his back upon you? Did he ever drop you or let you go? And they might say, sometimes I could not see him, but he was always there. Underneath were always the everlasting arms. The Christ who loved us and the Christ who has saved us is the Christ who will keep us. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. He gathers and he guards his flock with omnipotence. He has never lost one, but has brought them safely home. And it is as true now as it ever was that no one can pluck us from his hand. No one can pluck us from his Father's hand. This one and his Father are one. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever in the grace of his reign, his righteous sway, his universal dominion is an exercise in demonstrating the perfections of his wisdom and mercy. One of the 18th century Baptists wrote a beautiful little treatment of the government of God through his Christ called the reign of grace. We are under a reign of grace, and everything always advances in accordance with his promises to secure the purposes of his heart. The hand that guides the world and the hand that holds the church is a nail-pierced hand, because it is the hand of the Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no lack in understanding. There is nothing that occurs that he does not know and that he has not ordained. And his government is flawless in its righteousness. And again, we may not always see that, but it does not for one moment mean that it is not the case. And there will come a day when the King in his glory sits upon the throne of his glory. And in that day, every dealing of his with all of his creatures will be finally and gloriously vindicated. And there's not one of us that will have grounds to complain at the way that Christ has dealt with us. And even those who fall before him and are cast out from him will be forced to acknowledge the justice of his judgments. The King has established his kingdom. The King is advancing his kingdom. He has not changed in the grace of his reign and in the demonstration of his perfections in it. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever in the sympathy of his soul. How does he think of you, Christian? We know how we sometimes think of ourselves. And we know, perhaps to our shame, how we sometimes think about others. How does Christ look upon us? In all our weakness, our remaining sinfulness, our feebleness, our foolishness, our doubts, our fears, our confusions, our troubles, he remembers that we are dust. He knows what it is to be a man. This God took upon himself our nature. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he looks upon you with all the affection of one who shares our nature. He looks upon us with all the compassion of one who himself learned obedience by the things which he suffered, as his life advanced, manifesting more and more his attachment to his God and his King. He looks upon us with the kindness of one who has been tempted in all points just as we are, who knows all the batterings, all the enticements, all the abuses of the wicked one, who has been subjected to the worst, the highest, the lowest, think of it as you will, that Satan can throw against his people. He knows what it is to be tempted. And he looks upon us with all the tenderness of one who knows the weariness and the weakness of our frame. Christ knew what it was to turn aside for a rest. Christ knew what it was to have labored to the point of exhaustion so that he could sleep through a storm on a boat at sea. Christ knew what it was to hunger and to thirst. Christ knew what it was to have no place to lay his head. And he looks upon us with all the insight and affection of one who bore the cross and bore it for us. We are the ones whom he loves, and we are the ones with whom he sympathizes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he nurtures the flock with all the sympathy of the God-man over succeeding generations. We cannot say that he has favored others more than us. We cannot say that there is less sympathy in his heart for us than there is for anybody else, either alive today or from the past. Because the largeness of his heart is the largeness of the heart of God, beating, as it were, in the breast of a man. How can we calculate these things? We're forced to reduce it to the language of the writer, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, brothers and sisters, where do you find your confidence and your comfort? When everything else seems to change and to shake, where is your safety and your security? Everybody else at their best will fade and fail. And some have already done so. Everything else at its best will shift and shake. What is the comfort of the church? It has to be Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is all that he is in all your times of suffering and delight. Your circumstances do not change anything about him. He is the same in all your sorrows and in all your joys. He is the same in your seasons of darkness and in your days of light. He is the same when the path is hard and when it appears easy. He is the same in the depths of your pain as he is in the heights of your pleasure. He is your always and forever Saviour. He is Jesus the Christ, with all that that means. There's no accident here in giving him this title, the Saviour, the Messiah, the God-man, in his person, in his offices, in his heart, in his blood, in his gospel, in his love, in his strength, in his reign, and in the sympathy of his soul toward his people. If you're going to have an unshakable kingdom, you're going to need an unchanging king. When everything else shifts, and when the kingdom itself passes through what appear to us to be its phases here upon earth, there is one who sits on the throne, one who stands before his God, one who speaks to us and makes God known to us, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One of the things that the writer to the Hebrews wants us to do is to follow the faithful ones. That's why we have that gallery of godly men and women there from chapter 11 down through into chapter 12. That testimony again and again of those who lived and died in hope. Those who held fast to the promises of God through the succeeding generations. And the exhortation comes in chapter 12, 13 and verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Consider the outcome of their conduct. But it's not ultimately them that you're following. You have to ask, who were they following? It's why the Apostle Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Because the point of the argument is that we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, are to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and we are to run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Anybody who ever ran and anybody who ever finished was looking unto Christ. And he must remain the one upon whom our eyes are fixed. He is the unchanging mediator of the new covenant. And all the promises of our God are yes and amen in him. Everything else is going to change. Everything else will shift and move. All others will pass and die. But Christ is all that he is, always. All that he was, and all he ever will be. And so the future is as certain as the past. And the present is entirely secure. because of Jesus Christ, our God and our Saviour, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.